Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about word of mouth and how it sells real estate and pretty much everything else. Great show, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a question before we get all into it. Posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Cool. And this one is from Kathleen, who just recently got into all our data doorstep stuff. So I see some next level questions and things coming from her, so this is really good. Okay, so in an effort to refine my mailer and optimize finding motivated sellers, has anyone set a recording date or a sale date as criteria? My thinking is that if you set a cap sale date, say like for 5 or 10 years ago, you will scrub out newer owners and target those whom have owned their parcels for a longer time.
This is brilliant.
Hence, the novelty of owning their parcel has worn off. They may be less emotional about owning it. This is really good stuff.
Kathleen has a PhD. She's a clinician.
Okay, let me finish.
So there's emotion about real estate for her.
Yeah. So let me finish this. The novelty's worn off. They may be less emotional about owning it. And they've had more years of carrying the property tax burden. This may be a way of targeting owners whom are just truly done with owning their vacant parcel and optimizing your response rate. What do you all think? First of all, A+, Kathleen.
Gosh.
Well, I got to say.
She should be a writer.
Wait, I got to say something funny, though. I mean, that's what I was going to say, is that the way she spells and her grammar and her wording and everything. I'm like, oh, thank you, Kathleen. It's nice. It's not jumbled quick little notes, which I appreciate. So this is awesome. So I think.
I love getting to know these members.
I think that it's a brilliant thing to test and see what happens. I would love to see the results of this. Like this mailer versus this mailer. You know what I mean? And see what the response rate was by adding that criteria.
Yeah, there's lots of things and ways that you can change your response rates. I personally think that they are optimized the way that we do it now. I've tried a lot of different things, and I'm not disagreeing with Jill at all. Try new things always. But please don't veer too far from the basic stuff when you're sending a mailer out that we do. For instance, we send out mailers that where the offer is, we send an offer out. We don't send a postcard. We don't send a letter of interest. We send an offer out for a set amount of money with a set closing date. And if any of those things or one of those things don't work for the person receiving the offer, we 95% of the time just pass. We're not in the negotiation business. So my personal experience, 15-year opinion on this to answer this question, Kathleen, is no, it's not going to change a darn thing. Circumstances that are not in the data set, they're not in the data set that the recorder collects, not recorder, but the assessor. See, we're working off of assessor's databases that are all organized and ready to go. And what she's saying is one of the criteria, the sorting criteria, is how long the property has been owned by the current owner. And she's wondering if the longer they've owned it, the more they're going to want to sell it, or the less that they're going to want to sell it, they're more likely to sign the thing. And my professional opinion is that it has nothing to do with why they're selling it. They sell proper people sell their property. There's triggers. Usually it's death or a need for money, or there's all kinds of triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think, I mean, it's a brilliant concept. And I think these kinds of thoughts about, hey, how can we increase our yield? I call it yield, you know, or success yield by send 1,000 mailers out. What's your response going to get is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe that if you hand write the address on the envelope, they're going to get a better response. I'm telling you right now, though, here's some free advice, everybody. Our response rate for rural vacant unwanted property is we buy one property per 100 mailers, sometimes more, but you can take that to the bank. For houses, It's one in 2,000.
I wanted to point out the fact that if you're just tuning in and you picked up on this, look at the interesting stuff that we can pick up on our data. The stuff that we can source for is amazing. And I'm sure, Jack, from 10 years ago, we have more and more. I mean, that thing we just sat through the other day. I mean, there's so much more that we can really tap into that I had no idea was out there. You know, for example, you want to talk about some of the interesting things the other day?
You can if you want. My point is we probably use these resources of that data to doorstep. We provide data to doorstep. Mm-hmm. We probably use 10% of what's
really available. Yeah. So, because we're just doing a broad reach. But if you really want to get, you know, I guess my point is what we have and what we provide with our data, we have a lot of people in our world who are using it for a variety of things, not just land, mm-hmm. but all kinds of property things and real estate agents and
getting listings.
Gosh, and finding property owners for X reasons. I mean, what, dream it up. I mean, mortgage people, whatever it is. I mean, we have access to so much. It's it's awesome.
Quadruple the amount of information that.
Yeah.
Consequently, the ways that this data to doorstep is used. Mm-hmm. Data to doorstep is a collection of tools that helps real estate investors, you know, REI people, whether you're new or old or experienced or not, it's the tools that the pros use to get deals done.
Mm-hmm. And anybody in the real estate world, you could have a mortgage company and you'd be using our data.
You could buy skyscrapers. You could be a developer. Mm-hmm. We have lots of people off of Michigan Avenue in Chicago and in Manhattan that are, you know, they're AAA real estate developers and skyscraper investors, commercial real estate guys
mm-hmm.
that buy our stuff and use it.
Exactly.
And we have a ton of new people, brand new.
Yep. And they're so ahead of the game. Good question, Kathleen.
Great question. Today's topic? Word of mouth sells real estate and more. This is the meat of the show. Jill came up with this title. Jill, how'd you come up with this title? Because I think it's fascinating.
Because I have people coming to us that are hearing it from other people. I have two different things that are happening right now, and it's the greatest thing on the planet. I have people finding us and listening and getting involved in our world because they have friends who are in our group and they're listening to them and they're hearing the results and they're like, what is going on? You know, kind of thing, you know, what are you buying? What are you selling? What are you doing? And then I also have people that are coming to us, as investors. They have bought property from some of our, members and, they are coming to us now saying, all right, I bought this from this guy. I asked him how he knew how to do this and he pointed to you. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know?
Yeah.
So it's 100% word of mouth and it's the greatest thing. So, and it's great because when something comes to you word of mouth, the source will, it passes their checks. You know what I mean? So it takes some of the guesswork out for you. Like, hey, I've been doing this already. I know it works and everything like that. So, what do you want to say, Jack?
Every time I think of word of mouth, I think of like my mom cooking in the kitchen when I was a kid, because I mean, and then when I got older and started cooking a little bit myself, I'd call her and say, you know, what kind of spaghetti sauce did you use? And since she would tell me and say, but here's the thing. If you don't use this kind of butter, not for spaghetti sauce, but if you don't use this kind of butter in this recipe, it's just not going to work. Or if you don't use Philadelphia brand cream cheese for the cheesecake, it's just not going to be what you remember. And man, what kind of word of mouth for a product? You know, mm-hmm. first of all, it's your mom. Second of all, your whole childhood is centered around some of these meals. So, you know, that's always stuck with me for how to develop and run a company. You know, mm-hmm. you want somebody to say the same thing that your mom just said. If you don't use this data, quality data from these guys, you're just kind of wasting your time, or it's going to be at work half the time, not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say how important word of mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Have you ever heard of buzz marketing? what it's a kind of a, they branded themselves now. They're in Boston. Here's their deal. They have these affiliates. They're not affiliates like you think of on the internet. They're, for lack of a better description, they're housewives that are on, they do not work, and they send them, they sign up. They have 50 or 60,000 people. And so then they, so then this Buzz Marketing Group, they go to, let's say Procter & Gamble, because they're going to release a new fabric softener or something. They send 50,000 units out to these affiliates, and these people who are at home use the fabric softener, and they start talking about it. And they talk about it with their friends and the whole thing. And man, what a product launch. Mm-hmm. All word of mouth.
Exactly.
Get on the internet, review it. Mm-hmm. So it's a... You know, word of mouth is, it sells everything. It sells real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Land Academy is because of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We never set out to do this. This is at the request of people who are buying property for years. Mm-hmm. How do you guys do this? I want to do it too.
Yeah. I know, I'm sure too, some of our buyers and our investors and everything, I know this. They, hey, how did you get that? Where'd you get that property? How cheap? Whatever. And next thing you know, here they come, you know, just as investors. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that happens. And right. What a compliment. And, you know, and it's just the greatest thing on the planet. It's free advertising too, by the way. That's mm-hmm. that's the kicker. Not only is it one of the best resources, but it's free. It's organic for those of you who are on that kick.
It's organic?
It's gluten-free and organic.
There's some stuff about you. Right?
Word of mouth advertising is gluten-free and organic.
There's about five things in this world that get under Jill's skin, like a burr under her saddle. And organic everything is, and diet this and all that. She is like, what the heck is wrong with this world? Everything's organic? Everything's gluten-free? Shut up and eat some white bread.
Well, you know what my whole thing is? My whole thing is I'm all for that. I mean, in a perfect world, we're all making our own stuff and there's only four ingredients in everything. But no, seriously, however, the people that are just so against anything and that's all they will eat and they're just...
I'm right there with
so
you.
So picky, you can't even... I mean, we have a really good friend, you know who I'm talking about right now too, that, man, we all know, well, if we're going to go out to dinner with them... Because of her, we're limited to these four restaurants.
Four places to eat in her life.
I know.
How closed?
That's got to get boring. No, she does. But anyway, so it's just so funny. But that's my
Janine. If you're listening to the show, expand your mind, man. There's more than four restaurants on this planet. Now she's gonna listen to it for sure.
That's so funny. But you know, it's awesome. But I'm just loving it too. Well, it's really, I had another thing that came up the other day that was funny along this line.
She's on a soapbox now.
No, I'm on our topic.
I love poking you with the stick a little.
Okay. I'm on our topic. It's about the word of mouth point. I had a Calendly, you know, a call the other day. Someone had scheduled a call with me. And it's the whole gist of the call was wanting to know that I'm a real person, that we are real. He's done the homework. He's read it. His friend's in our group. I mean, it was almost, I mean, ready to just to go, I'm in. But what was funny, he just wanted to talk to me just to make sure we are real people and this is all legit. And yeah, it is. So, and it was very sweet because I'm like, is there anything else you want to talk about? No, we're good. That was it.
No, you're so good at what you do because I'm glad it's good that you have the job you have and the job that I have, the job that I have, because I don't have patience for some of this stuff. What do you mean? You know?
That's a compliment.
I know it is. And you should be taken that way, but I just get it. I'm like, what are you? Okay. Yeah, it's real.
No, it's a compliment. It's awesome. I like it. And it's, you know what? Embrace your differences, Jack.
I know.
That's one thing.
Celebrate
about you.
Celebrate your life.
It's all good.
Massage embrace your scalp.
Who you are. Silly.
This is the Technical 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000 transaction experience. If you want word-of-mouth, credible information, seek it out from somebody who has conquered it already. Don't seek out how to buy real estate from somebody who's done 3 deals. Seek it out from somebody who's done a bajillion deals. Don't learn how to cook from somebody who really can just make cereal. Seems basic and normal and easy, but That's how this word of mouth thing really starts. It starts from a credible source, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill, inspire us.
If you're not getting your desired results, try another way. I see this happen all the time. Usually it's a communication thing is what I see. I see people trying to communicate and all I do is keep restating the same sentence, retyping the same sentence, re-emailing the same sentence, and it might get louder or whatever it is, or they might, you know, but they don't try it a different way. They don't take a moment to step back and go, all right, this person's obviously not getting it. I need to, you know, turn this around and try to explain it another way that they will understand it.
I love it.
So thank you. How do you, I know you've experienced this, Jack. What mm-hmm. have you?
It's this gets on my nerves, mm-hmm. you know, this is it's because what it does is it just leads to inefficiency and bad communication or lack of communication or too much communication or too little. It's so easy to really sit down and say, you know, this is not hard to fix. Really, I think it's a result of just bad habits on mm-hmm. someone's part. But yeah, I experience this with people who work for us a lot, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe like, you know, I don't know. A good example is like a family member that you don't see too often and like an uncle or something like that. And it's like, man, this guy's still doing this after all these years. He's saying this thing like this, the same saying over and over. I mean, that kind of thing.
Got it.
I mean, sometimes, like with you, Jill, your weird stuff is endearing.
Well, I'm talking about in trying to get your point across. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm talking about more, you know, I'm trying to get my child to pick up their room because I have guests coming over. I don't know. I'm trying to think of just anything.
That's a good example.
And they don't understand the importance of it to me. They're like, what's a big deal? I just, you know, but... And if I'm not getting the results, I need to word a different way. To really think about. I mean, this is really it's kindergarten here.
Yeah.
But
no, it's good
one time. Thing I learned as great. A parent is especially with boys. Seriously, no, this is good, and maybe this works with everybody. And I haven't tested it on grown up boys. I probably should, but with little
this
boys,
it's going to lead to Steve's and Matt's watch.
No, with little boys, one thing that I learned is. You need to get down at their level, kind of in their face, and only give them a few things at a time.
Yeah.
So here, that's an example. So say I'm not getting the results I want because I said, I want this place looking fantastic. I think everybody knows what that means. No, they don't know that means pick this up, put that there, organize this, do that. Maybe it's my website. How about this one? Perfect. Here's a good example. I want my website to be better than Zappos. That's what Jack loves. So talk about vague. I think I know what it wants. And I think everybody gets that. I gave him an example, by the way, too. Use Zappos, but they don't really know. I meant this, but I meant blue, not green. And I meant a checkout like this, not a cart like that. So,
In web development, you mean, yeah.
Right. So that's a good example. I mean, I'm not going to get the results I want. No kidding. So I've got to try another way. Some people might get it. You know, I've had a boss like this. I had very few times I've had bosses and even, teachers when I was in school that we were on the same wavelength. They could give me something and I actually knew what they meant and I would go off and run with it. And they were very happy because we were totally on the same wavelength, but that doesn't happen often, you know? But like, so my peers, like my boss would say, you know, we need X done by this date. I would go do it. My peers would need more steps to the process. You know, we need four of those and three of these. And, you know, you need to do this by this date in a whole checklist because that's, you know, how they got it. So I guess I'm going way off on a tangent.
No, it's okay. I mean, when I'm struggling with communication, if I'm asking somebody to do something that's not getting through and it keeps happening, or vice versa, if somebody's asking me to do something and they're just not happy with the results, you know, what my innate reaction is to stop and set up a system, not only for what's going on with that specific topic or task, but to put a system in place to solve it all of it when it comes up in the future too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I learned that or whatever, but it's a very typical part. It's a pretty large part of running a company, and it's taught formally mm-hmm. in business schools and stuff. You know, don't solve problems, create systems to solve all the problems of the future that are specific to the one that you're looking at right now mm-hmm. or solving right now.
Exactly.
And that usually does it. Plus the other thing, the good news is that if it's just not working socially or professionally, you know, Jill nailed it. Sometimes people just don't communicate. They're so far off and they just don't do that. And mm-hmm. that's okay.
Everybody and what if it's you, by the way? Don't think it's on one side, but it might be you.
Yeah.
You could be the problem. So you might have to look at it a different way or go back to the person. And I've done this. We do this together all the time.
Yeah.
I will still come to Jack and say, you know what? I am just not getting it. I know the gist of this, but this project that you've tasked me with, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm not getting it. What are you trying to do here? And it's good to ask that.
Did you ever hear somebody say a sentence like this? Everybody in my life doesn't understand me.
Right.
You know
what?
There
you go.
They don't understand you. You're the problem.
Yeah.
Not everybody in your life. If everybody in your life doesn't understand the way you communicate, you have a problem, man.
That could be.
If one person doesn't and the other 5,000 do, get rid of that person.
Or find a way to communicate.
Yeah.
Find out what their thing is. And then... By the way, your life will be a lot happier.
And they'll be happier too.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill go half-cocked off and talk about strange stuff that has nothing to do with information. That's me.
And
everything to do with inspiration.
And pretty vague out there. I'm not sure we really call it inspiration. That's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Good show, Jill.
Thanks.
I love, you know, sometimes it's fun to go half-cocked off with you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's valuable stuff to talk about. Big picture stuff. I like that. And hopefully it helps someone. It helps me sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
When I sit and talk about it and I think of other ideas and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to do that. This is what I'm going to do differently next time. It really helps me.
Right. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property. If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.